In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Mystery of love.
I will start tonight with you a program to prepare for marriage and to help those who are newlywed or who are struggling in their marriage with any issue. In the handouts which are distributed to some of you, you will find titles and spaces left for you to take notes in it. So we have just written the titles and you have to fill in certain spaces, and after you take the tape or the CD, you complete filling the spaces. And it's not going to be like a sermon, like the one in Arabic. It's a study. Issue number one, which I'm going to discuss tonight, do we really have a crisis in marriage? Do we really have a crisis in marriage these days? Yes, we do. And the crisis is increasing day after day. God has blessed me with over 40 years of counseling. Only these days I'm seeing new couples. In the first month of their marriage, going for divorce. 7 to 10 years ago, it was 6 months. 50 years ago, I never heard about case of divorce in the Coptic Orthodox Church. And if someone will do it, it's so secretly, he's ashamed to fight for divorce. But now, we are keeping our fingers crossed and praying for every couple who are starting their new marital life. So, is there really a need for preparing those couples for a Christian Coptic Orthodox marriage or a Christian Orthodox marriage? Yes. Does it help? Yes. Those who have taken these courses, they contact me after their wedding from all over, from Egypt, from Australia, from Europe, from Canada, from the United States, if you have something. Actually, a recent couple, they were contacting me during their honeymoon about technicalities. A couple from Egypt. So, nothing wrong in asking to know, but it's wrong to file for divorce after less than 1 month. As I have seen recently, an extreme case of personality incompatibility. A spouse was high dominant, very short tempered to listen to any communication, and the other is high perfectionist, so much into details oriented. In the first month, 3 times we have separated. And now their marriage is annulled. I think any previous preparation would save that marriage. So I think there's a need, and I know anybody who will go through that program sincerely and honestly, it will help him at any time of his marital life. Who would counsel those couples other than the fathers of the church? And I wish the fathers also would study. I know they are guided by the Holy Spirit, but some study is not going to benefit you. Christian counseling therapist of marriage and family would help under the supervision of the church and guided by the church. I mean, working hand in hand with the church. And I wish, as I explained to His Holiness Pope Shenouda, there's a need in every metropolitan area for a center for counseling in the Coptic Orthodox Church. He is agreeing about the idea, but waiting to know who could counsel and who is acceptable by the church to do that function. Counseling, my beloved, is so different than confession and different also than spiritual guidance. Confession is a mystery. Only the priest can perform that. And in counseling, in confession, each one of us confess in the presence of God. He confessed to God. And the Father of Confession is listening to the communication between the one who's confessing and God. And then he will give absolution. No need to interrupt him. It's a very holy situation, the presence of God. And when Abuna starts to give advice, then he is going into spiritual guidance. It's not part of the mystery. So only the priests, canonized Coptic Orthodox priests, authorized by the church to take confessions, can perform that mystery. Spiritual guidance, any servant in the church, including the priest, could give spiritual advice. But who could counsel? Counseling is a career. You need a degree to be a counselor, at least master or PhD degree to be a counselor. And Christian counseling is different than secular counseling. Secular counseling, you don't mention God. You don't mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Christian counseling, the counselee is expected that the name of the Lord is going to be mentioned. And his values and the Bible could be the center of the counseling. It's not biblical counseling, but in Christian counseling, the authority of the Word of God and His presence is mandatory in each session. And there's a beginning and termination and sessions. It could be 30 sessions, it could be 24 sessions, once weekly or twice weekly. It needs time. And the counseling itself goes through three phases, telling the story, why you are here, then what do you want from the future, the goals you want to be achieved, and then a plan to achieve these goals. Under the supervision and guided by the counselor, but the counselee are the ones were going to change and work on their own marriage, working out the marriage. It needs commitment. So it's a career. It has to be in a professional setting. It cannot be somewhere in the parking lot. This is cannot count. It could be spiritual advice, but not counseling. And there's a certain description, detailed description for the counseling setting. No need to mention it now. Now, I will go now into the mystery of love, which is mystery of holy matrimony. And I want to remind every one of you that the theme of the whole program will be look, listen, and learn. Look, listen, and learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how to love and live a Christian matrimonial life or a Christian life. Look to whom? Look, listen, and learn from whom? From the Lord Jesus Christ. So look to His presence. Listen to His Word, the Word of God. Learn from Him how to behave. In what way? How to love as He loved, and how to live as He lived. Look, listen, and learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how to love and live. How many L? How many L? 5 L. Write it. It's not there. So always you'll find in each presentation the center is Jesus Christ. We look up to His presence in our life. We listen to His words, the gospel, the scripture read, and we learn how to behave. Because He mentioned clearly in Matthew 11, learn from Me, for I am humble and lowly in heart. Humility and meekness, I learn it from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something to be learned. Behavior could be learned. And we have something called behavior, Christian behavior modification therapy. As maybe you will see in the session of the personality when it will come. About the mystery of marriage, the mystery of matrimony, the mystery of love. It is a great mystery. This word is mentioned in particular about the mystery of matrimony. Actually, the only one of the seven mentioned by that. It's a great mystery by St. Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 32. We'll read now from verse 30 to 32. It is written in the handout.
For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Do you believe really that we are members of His body? You and I, we are regarded by God as members of His body, from His bones, from His flesh. It is a mystery. You can't analyze it. It's mentioned in Ephesians 5:31, we are members of His body. Those believers who are moving temples of God are members of His body. of his bones and his flesh. Then, verse 31, it begins by therefore. Based on verse 30, if you understand that you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ, part of him, and the one you are going to join yourself to him or her is part of member, bones and the flesh of Jesus Christ, after you understand that, then you are ready. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. 31 is based on 30. This is a great mystery. But he is talking regarding Christ and the church. The man resembling Christ and the woman, the church. Therefore, the man shall leave everything. He will make himself of no reputation and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. That's why the church is the members of Christ, from his bones, from his flesh. It's a great mystery. The same will happen if you follow the footsteps of Christ and you want to be joined to your wife in that issue. Both of you regard yourself and understand very well that you are members of the body of Christ. Christ will help the man who will leave his father and mother, and the woman who will leave her father and mother, and he will join the two together, be joined together, and become one flesh. That verse is repeated, as you are going to see, Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5-6, Mark 10:6-7, and Ephesians 5:31. From the beginning of Genesis, the Old Testament, beginning Matthew, the New Testament, same verse. It's so important to understand those who are going to be joined in the mystery of holy matrimony. They are resembling the unity of Christ with the church. It is a mystery which you cannot utter. It is the only mystery which is practiced every day, every minute, in your communication and growing intimacy with your spouse. The Lord Jesus is joining the two into one in a perpetual process from the ceremony till the end of their marital life. Even if I am in Canada and my spouse is in California, the Lord is working to unite us perpetually. If I regard myself part of him and she is a part of him, and we acknowledge that and we pray for that, and we don't quench the Holy Spirit who is between us by our sins or bad behavior. It's a great mystery. As I told you, this is the only mystery in which Christ is going to have the two become one flesh every day, every minute of their marital life. The Holy Spirit is uniting and uniting, increasing the unity between the two. It's a great mystery. So it needs the preparation. How would you prepare yourself for the mystery of communion? By repentance. You can't go for communion unless you are repenting. How do you prepare yourself for the mystery of matrimony? By looking where will be the church, which we marry, where will be the reception, the honeymoon, the furniture, the apartment. Is that the preparation for the mystery of holy matrimony, which takes most of your time? And even if the two holy temples are engaged together in the engagement, they are so involved in that blind emotional love with stars and around them, and they are not doing anything in preparation, just to love, emotions. And they will discover the great myth, not mystery, after we get into the marriage, that emotional love before the wedding ceremony is so different than love after the wedding ceremony. And so many come to Abuna and tell him, Abuna, this is not the man I have married. This is not the woman I have married. So different. He's starting to snore and she's starting to do whatever. Also, she might snore too. And everything I say, she disagrees. Everything I say, it's known. During engagement, every one of them likes to listen carefully, understand, and respond, even if the communication continues for 7 hours. You are enjoying the communication. Get me one couple here, just one couple who's married, their communication would continue for 7 hours. I'll make a statue for him. Give him a gold medal. If you could speak continuously for your spouse for 7 hours. So what happened? We have to prepare ourselves as we are doing now to understand so many things about the mystery of holy matrimony and the interactions and how to choose and the belief system about mixed marriages, role of male and female, dynamics of marital relationship, setting rules for the marriage regarding the finances, the spiritual, the social, the education, the children, the intimacy, setting rules. Who will be our refuge? What's meant by companionship? What are the marital needs? What's meant really by intimacy? How to protect yourself from infidelity? What's meant by sexuality and spirituality in marriage? What is really about domestic violence and anger, which is increasing these days in Christian family and homes? How to have positive communication, and what are the law and the guidelines, the regulation of our Coptic Orthodox Church regarding the personal family affairs, regarding engagement, marriage, divorce, and annulment. These will be some of the topics which are going to be discussed in that program. And of course, we'll discuss who will make the decision at home. Who's responsible for making the decision, the man or the woman? Who is the leader? Who has to submit and who has to lead? Discuss all these issues. And they will come shielded and protected, these sessions. Because I will fear, of course, some antagonism from some of the men or women. But I'm ready. I'll be ready for that. Grace of God will protect me. I'm sure of that. Now, how to prepare ourselves? You see certain medical terms in your handout. Our families started preparing us from the day of birth till before courtship, before going to courtship. Courtship to find a spouse, a mate. How do they prepare us to be good husbands and good wives? Through their example. How could I learn primarily about marriage from the books? No. From the way my dad and mom are behaving together. Or an ideal couple that church will present to me. Look to those. Look to the presence of Jesus Christ in their life. Listen how they are a living Bible. See how they are behaving as Jesus in their marital relationship. See the way they love one another. See the way they live together a Christian marital life. There has to be an example. I'm sure you will have examples around you. But you have to look carefully, earnestly, and ask Abuna, I want a mentor. I need to be mentored by a couple. Their life is a good Christian marital life. I'm not going to ask Abuna now to tell you who are those, but ask him in secrecy. He might go privately, confidentially, and he might tell you. I mean, other than your parents. But if you have parents who are showing you a good example, then they are preparing the girl into Bethlehem. And they are preparing the young man in the vine press. Because Abuna one day will choose the Urbana and look at the bread and find no defect in it. He will look at it, he chooses it, and he will get the wine and smell it, and he will find it ready. It doesn't smell alcohol. And then the young man smells nice, his reputation, his inner and outer life known to Abuna. And the girl, the young woman, is someone resembling the church, the bread. And the two together will be Christ, who will sacrifice his life, his blood, for the church. That's why Abuna take from the blood and sprinkle on the body. So each family is responsible about teaching marriage to their own children. We call that the pre-embryonic phase. Then during the courtship or the pre-engagement period, Abuna or a spiritual advice is between the two. He will start to counsel the two to see whether they are ready for engagement or not. Engagement, as you're going to see with me in the last session, is a certificate. The Holy Synod has certain rules for engagement. Holy Synod of the Church. So, pre-engagement or embryonic phase. During pregnancy, we have embryo in the first 2 months and fetus in the rest of the pregnancy growing. So I took these terms because engagement period is the fetal. What fetal? The relationship. You were a sperm in the gonad of your dad, and the girl with an ovum in the ovary of her mom, far away. This is pre-embryonic. Thinking to get a baby, pre-embryonic. And then, when they get into this courtship, this is the embryonic phase. It's not a piece of flesh. It's something alive, as the spirit is in it, and is growing and multiplying. All the systems are formed in it. by its week. And then the fetus grew, the relationship grew during engagement under supervision of a father of confession or a refuge or a mentor. Till the time of delivery come. Delivery of the fetus, delivery of the baby, delivery of the relationship, the marital relationship. It will come out clearly in front of everybody in the marital ceremony. Here is the beginning of the new baby, which we call the marital relationship. A living being is born. So when the bride and groom are here, and the abuna or the bishop are performing the rites of the mystery of matrimony, when the Holy Spirit dwells on the two, and the two starting to become one, the marital relationship starts to be a reality. We call it a living being because the Holy Spirit is in it. And I always ask those who are attending this question, your first baby is the marital relationship. Any couple who have no children of their own, they have a child to care for. We call it living being. This is the marital relationship. They have to nourish and cherish that relationship spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and physically or sexually. We have to nourish that relationship and cherish it. From day one of the ceremony, of the holy matrimony, that being, living being, grew. So if a couple is married now for 20 years, their living being, how old is he? 20 years. Now, if during their marital life, God will give them two children, then how many children do they have? Three. Don't forget about the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? The marital relationship, which we have to nourish and cherish it. By all means, if it's sick, I have to take the baby to the doctor of the relationship, abuna, and tell him, abuna, this boy is sick. And abuna will prescribe for you what to do. And you will never be fed up if the baby is sick. There are so many ailments and diseases and kinds of sicknesses for the relationship. And all the doctors are ready, the fathers of the church and the Christian counselors, ready to help you for that living being to be well. Do you have the courage at any time to get your firstborn and get a serrated knife and cut his throat? Could you do that? Tell me, could you do it? I will get my firstborn, say his name is Peter, I will take him, ask my wife, go to the kitchen, get me a huge serrated butcher knife, get me, and then hold his head, hold his body, and then I will cut his neck. Can I do that? Why you cannot do it? This is savage to do that. Cruelty. Okay, why do you do it for your firstborn, the living being, by separation or divorce? Now, it is no cause divorce in the court. No cause divorce. I don't like it anymore. This is not the holy relationship. We nourish and cherish the relationship, as I'm going to tell you, by companionship and intimacy and the marital needs. So this living being, we resemble the icon of God, the three hypostases in one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the bride and the groom are one. Unity through the Holy Spirit. By no means we can't. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, is trying to join the two more and more and more. And who is waiting to separate what God has joined together? Whose intention is to divide and separate? Who? Satan. He will try all his tricks to separate and divide. For those who are not witnessing the presence, look, listen, and learn. For those who are not looking, listening, or learning from the Lord Jesus Christ, how to live and love Jesus, will attack them viciously and he will separate it. He will put a wedge between the two. And he will come to Abuna, I have already divorced my spouse. Civil divorce. And before that, he will stay away from Abuna by a year or so, not going to Abuna. Actually, so many of them reject the idea of counseling of the church or counseling of Christian counselors. They have a mind of their own. Arrogance, pride. Satan is putting his seeds. It's a great mystery. It is a great mystery. And as it is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 to 31, in preparation for certain mystery, you will know it now, this is the way how to look to the mystery of matrimony.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged.
Who eats and drinks without being worthy? Those who will go for that without a program, without preparation. They don't know how valuable, how holy, how great is that mystery. So it's so easy for them to panic and get angry and violent and conflicts every day. The life of worship is not there. The awesome holiness is not surrounding the couple because they are not seeing the Lord Jesus Christ between them. It's so painful when a couple will come to you, both of them are servants, and you see that they are not in touch with the presence of the Lord between them in their homes. It's so painful. So, who come to communion, who come to the ceremony of marriage, not ready, they eat and drink eternal judgment for themselves. That's why there are so many marriages who are weak and sick. Some of them are dying. Not dead yet, because the Holy Spirit is in it. Why? Because if we have judged ourselves, we will not be judged before. This applies to communion and marriage and all the mysteries. Then I will end by what are the three phases of mystery of marriage. I started by, do we have a crisis? The great mystery, preparing for the great mystery, and all these phases, and the living being, and then I'm getting into the mystery of love. Question. I will ask a question now. Be attentive, please. When was that mystery, when that mystery was seen, instituted in the first time, the mystery of holy matri where it was instituted the first time. Beauty. Garden of Eden or Cana of Galilee. Okay. Saint John Chrysostom and Saint Clement and Saint Augustine resolved that puzzle by saying the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed in Cana of Galilee what he has instituted in Garden of Eden. He instituted first the same verse that I told you, Genesis 2:24, therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Same verse going on through the whole New Testament. In Cana of Galilee you will find in chapter 2, the Gospel of St. John, first 10 or 11 verses, summary of what happened in Cana of Galilee. And St. Gregory of Nyssa, is meditating by saying, look to the difference between the wine before the ceremony and the wine after the ceremony. The wine resembles love. Look to the love before the marriage and love after the ceremony, the holy ceremony of wedding. The first one is mostly emotions. The second one is based on sacrifice, blood. My hour did not come yet. My hour did not come, hour of crucifixion, which means marriage is based on sacrifice, bloodshed. Men, love your wife as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25, he mentioned that. It's based on sacrifice. So, the three main phases are leaving, cleaving, and uniting. Leaving, father and mother, cleaving or joining together, and becoming one flesh, unity. Leave, cleave, and unite. There are so many obstacles for leaving. When do we start preparing our children to leave? I'm asking a question. When? After age 18. We have to let go of the emotional umbilical cord. Let them grow. Release them into God. We receive our children from God. We raise them in God and we release them into the hands of God to start their own life. Don't hold tightly to your own children. Don't suffocate them by your love, or else they're not going to grow. You can't all of a sudden, on that day of matrimony, you let go. You can't. This has to be a preparation for that. To grow emotionally. This is the role of the parents. So, therefore man shall leave his father and mother. He will still honor them. But please, father and mother, allow your son to leave. Allow your daughter to leave. Don't be an obstacle for them to leave. Because without leaving, there will be no cleaving. And without leaving and cleaving, there will be no unity. Then, could I regard myself as a father or as a mother? I am obstacle against the fulfillment of the forbid, I don't want to be. Am I going to obstruct the way of cleaving of my children? No, no way. I have to prepare them after age 18. Girls and boys, young men, young women, giving them responsibilities, emotional responsibility, sexual responsibility, spiritual responsibility, telling them how to communicate, seeing a good example, now waiting for the moment of courtship and then engagement and marriage. It will not be that hard for parents when they see the bride and groom and Abuna is given the commandment, you take care of her instead of her parents. And parents are crying. It's a moving moment. But if you are ready for that, you know, we'll be so happy. And some of you, come Ismail, you'll wait. The rattle. Ask me Alice now, you did. There's a name for Zagrata. But you are crying because you don't prepare them. So, if the umbilical cord is so tight, they cannot be released. Which means every minute you have to report to me where they are, what you are doing, what do you give them. And all of a sudden, he or she will leave you. It's sufficient once a day, twice a day to know where they are, what they are doing. We're talking about the children. Then, cleaving. What is cleaving? The Holy Spirit in that verse assigned cleaving to whom? The man or the woman? The man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother. And cleave to his wife. As John Chrysostom mentioned, cleaving is through love. Then who is mainly responsible for love primarily? The man or the woman? Who was primarily responsible for love? Christ or the church? Christ. And you men, you are representing Christ. It's a great, something so awesome to represent the Christ in the relationship. So you have to pour on her the holy love, and she in turn will give you that love. Husband, render to your wife affection in your heart, and likewise wife to your husband. 1 Corinthians 7:3. And as it's mentioned in the handout, it is a commitment. Commitment to continue loving. Commitment to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to love your spouse and the relationship, to make it viable relationship. And there are 5 commitments mentioned. This is the core meaning of the commandments Abuna gave it to the groom and the bride. I've seen some of you make fun of it. This is the core of it. The core of it are mutual commitments. First, the commitment, we commit, yeah, I prefer, and sometimes they do it in the receptions after the mystery of matrimony, in the ceremony of matrimony in the church. I recite with them these commitments, and they say it after me. And all those who are attending, they stand and they could join them in recommitting themselves to these commitments. Every couple, even parents of the groom and the bride, they commit them. Commitment and recommitment every year about those 5 commitments. Number 1, we commit ourselves for life of no separation. We are not going to separate what God has joined together. Commit life of no separation. Separation means what? You cut what? The neck of your firstborn, the living being. Do you dare doing that? Do it. Number 2, We commit ourselves for a life of love and respect. Expressed love and respect. Mutual. The man and the woman. Number three. We commit ourselves of a life in which affection and compassion is expressed. Love, affection, love expressed. Don't love only inside you and don't express it. There are so many men and so many women who are handicapped in expressing feeling. I wish you could have a sign of handicap put in their cars. Or a sticker, I'm handicapped in expressing emotions. So everybody will know about them. So girls will be away from them. And number four, the fourth commitment. I commit myself for a life of giving and forgiving and satisfying the needs of my spouse before my own spouse, my own needs. Again, a life of giving, forgiving, and satisfying the needs of the other spouse before my own needs. It's a commitment. And the last one, I commit my life. Someone told me, please get this number five, number one. I commit myself to change if needed, in order to pursue a more godly life. I don't say, no, I can't change. Accept me as I am. I'm not going to change. You change for the sake of God, not for her sake or his sake. I change in order to pursue a more godly life. And then going into unity. Unity is something perpetual, which means if you start at the ceremony of matrimony, the process of unification is getting deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper the more you go into your marital life with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a process of interweaving two into one. Of weaving, interweaving two spirits, two minds, two hearts, and two bodies into one. This is the process of intimacy. A process of unity. Completion of the flesh. As St. John Chrysostom mentioned. Nuptial community means matter community. Nuptial community is a prophetic figure of the kingdom of God in which there is, you will see, the ultimate unity between maleness and femaleness in God. There is no male or female in heaven. And also, in the mystery, neither one of them is more than the other in Christ. So unity between male and female in the mystery through Jesus Christ become one. And in kingdom of heaven, all of us, men and women, are one in Jesus Christ, in God. So would you imagine that your marriage is a picture, is a miniature of the kingdom of God? In which maleness and femaleness are ultimately, finally united completely in God. Do we have Garden of Eden and Kingdom of Heaven in our homes? We wish and pray for that. So by knowing how to look for His presence every day in the morning, during the day, at the end of the day, He is with us. He cannot quit. He is with us. And we listen to His word during the Bible. And we learn from Him how to behave, change our behavior to be more godly. And how to love as He loved, as accepted and loved. We try to love the other spouse. and live a matrimonial life as he lived with the church in a great mystery. God bless you. Any questions?
Hi. I'd firstly just like to thank you for the lecture. I'd like to know if you could repeat questions 4 and the commitments 4 and 5, just to repeat them. Would you please repeat commitments 4 and 5?
The commitments?
Yes, please.
Ah, they're the most difficult too.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for you to ask for that. Number 4, a commitment to give all my life and forgive all my life and satisfy the needs of my spouse before asking my needs to be satisfied. It's a commitment. And if the two are committing themselves, of course, everyone will be satisfied. Number 5, I commit myself to change if needed in order to pursue more godly life. I cannot say, I am Saidi, I cannot change. Take me as such, or else the door is open in front of you. I can say that, these words. Because I have committed myself to change if there's a need. If I feel that I am imposing on my spouse something he or she is complaining of, then I have to remember that commitment. I commit myself to change in order for him or her to enjoy with me more godly life. So, change. Number 1, no separation. Number 2, love and respect. Number 3, affection and compassion expressed. Number 4, giving forgiveness and satisfy the needs. Number 5, life would change to better, to be more godly.
Another question. Could you give advice on how a parent can start letting go of a child or a young adult? Could you give advice on how a parent can start letting go of a child or a young adult?
Usually, as I said, we start doing that after age 18. Some parents cannot do that. And some children are pathologically attached to their parents. And we have to learn that most our children are not anymore children by age 18. They are not minors anymore. They go to university, they could dorm, they could travel to another country to study. And I have invested in them all the values and principles before age 18. So my principles and values which are godly, it must be invested in them through my example from age 0 to 18. After that, I will give them some independence. Independence to make decisions. They could return to me if they want. And they are responsible as I have seen them before age 18. I don't fear them because Christ is with them. And during the college, this is the time of emotional and mental intimacy, sharing feeling and thoughts with someone from the other gender. End of college, by age 22, we have learned how to exchange and share feeling and thoughts without any commitment. After that, between 24 to 25, this is mostly the age in which we could start courtship. For the girls, usually between 20 to 22 they could start. For young men, 22 to 25. And we help our own young men and women to go through that by giving them some independence. And if they are connected to us through good communication, they will come and ask our blessing, because you are going to see nobody could marry. I prefer that, unless he will have the blessing of his or her parents about the chosen gift of God.